Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, tonight we are continuing with our series of shirim on the Torah of the Goyin and the Tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita. And we're going to be working on a piece of Torah that has been printed numerous times before in the Yuma de Hilula, where the Rebbe celebrates the art site or the patira of certain tzaddikim by uncovering a certain element of their Torah, not only their Torah or the history of these tzaddikim, but rather the essence of these tzaddikim. And something unique about this tzaddik, whose yard site was last week, I believe, Rav Yosef Rosen of Divinsk, the Rogachev Argon, that the Rebbe has said, Mufurash, it was a drasha that he gave in Svas a few years ago on Hey Av, which was the yard site of the Arizal, where the Rebbe himself said that his Mahalach in Torah is a Hamshacha of the Rogachev Argon, in the sense that the Rogachev Argon took Mora Nevuchim, he took the philosophy, so to speak, or the svaros of philosophy of Mor Nevuchim, and abstracted those concepts of thought and applied them to Shas. We see this most. I mean, it's very hard to learn the Rogachev Argon. Thankfully, there's svarim that make it easier. Rav Menachem Kasher wrote a miraculous sefer called Mefaneach Tzvunos. But one of the clearest symbols of this is Lubavitcher Rebbe's Lamdas, right? Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chus Yagan Aleinu, when he speaks in sugyos, in the shitos of different tanoim and different tzaddikim, very much it's rooted in the Torah of the Rogachev Argon, who was Mekusher to Lubavitch Kiyadua. So the thing about the Rogachev Argon that the Rebbe identifies as being kind of a kernel of his project, so to speak, is abstraction. Hapshata, v'od hapshata, v'od hapshata, v'od hapshata. To abstract an idea is to look at the idea in its particular form. So you can have a lumdus of a sugya with regards to shlichas yad beget, for example. And instead of getting caught up in the details of shlichas yad beget, you can look at the lumdus of the sugya, and you can differentiate between the particulars of the sugya and the general framework that allows us to understand the sugya, and you can extract the lumdus from the details of the sugya itself, and then you're left with a concept of thought, a conceptual category, no longer tethered down to particular details of a sugya, and that thought category, that conceptual lumdus a thing, can now be applied across the board. Now, what enabled the Rogachev Argon to live with this type of perspective, that one idea found wherever it was in Shas can be applied to every idea in Shas, was that there's a chiluk that the Rogachev Argon would point out very often between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. By the Luchos Rishonos, as the Tosefta says, Koil HaTorah Kula HaInyan Achas, the entirety of the Torah is one thing. All the Torah is coming to tell us is the singular thing that the Torah is coming to tell us. From the perspective of the Luchos Shnios, there's already differentiation and a descent down into particulars. Now, what is that Inyan Achas that the Torah is coming to tell us? So the Soid Yesharim, Rav Gershon Henoch, Liner of Radzin, the Bala Tcheles, in his commentary on the Zohar HaKadosh and Teferes HaChanochi, has an amazing teaching. He says that each and every Yid has their own Nekuda in Torah. They find one thing that the Torah is saying to them, and it speaks to every part of themselves. That nekuda of Torah for each person is the emestika nekuda of the entirety of the Torah. Everywhere they look, every vort, every lumdus, every sugya that they see, it's teaching them their particular nekuda in the Torah. So what is kol haTorah kulahu inyan achas? Each and every person has to identify what the inyan achas is for themselves, but suffice it to say that the Torah is telling us one singular thing, each person in accordance with their understanding. And the ability to abstract the klal from the prat and apply that klal across all of the pratim is the secret of how lumdus is really the introduction to Panimiyas HaTorah, right? What the Brisker Rav and the Brisker Mahalach was, for example. And again, the Briskers were influenced by the Tanya. We know Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik was influenced by his Malamid who taught him Tanya. The Rebbe brings down also that Rav Chaim Brisker had exposure to Tanya. That we see lumdus is not simply something that goes along with Panimiyas HaTorah. On a certain level, it is the prerequisite for Panimiyas HaTorah. Because until a person is willing to break open singular concepts to discover the interconnecting parts that are greater than the sum total of the whole, then a person doesn't have access to Panimiyas HaTorah. So the Rogachev Argon is a big ore that the Rebbe brings down. So this conversation is an old conversation. It's a conversation about the alleged machlokas between the Chassidim, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, but Bederach Klal, what we mean in that concept is Chassidus Lubavitch, or, you know, Chassidus Bederach Klal, especially the Baal HaTanya and the Mittler Rebbe, and Tzemach Tzedek, the first three generations, and the Lithuanian approach to understanding, which is identified as the Derech Hagra, which breaks off into various branches, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, Rav Yitzhak Isaac Chavir, and as we're speaking about later on in the week, the Leshem Shvoi Vachloima. So the straw man, right, the straw man argument that many people have kind of spent a lot of time talking about, without really going into a fundamental understanding, is a question with regards to the concept of tzimtzum. Now, the concepts of tzimtzum, obviously, we're not going to do justice to an introduction of the concept of tzimtzum, but suffice it to say what the Arizal tells us, and there is earlier sources, obviously. The Arizal was not mechadesh in Yanim. We see already in this week's parsha, by Parshas Truma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the ability to be mitzamsem shechinoso bein badei ha'aron, to contract his shechina in between the poles of the aron. So we already see a precedent for the concept of simsum. It's a sugi and erchin of whether a person can be mitzamsem or eifshar litzamsem. So we have precedents and shas, but the concept of simsum is the fact that in order for the infinite God and the infinite light of God to create a finite world, there needed to be a vacuum that was created so that the infinite light of God would not saturate all possibility of something other than God. If all there is God, there could be nothing other than God. And in order for God to allow for something other than God, so to speak, which is the purpose of creation, there had to be a tzimtzum. So the question that really led to this alleged machlokas, and I shouldn't say alleged, meaning the Lubavitch Rebbe Slusag and Leinu felt very much that there was a machlokas. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, the Nefesh HaChaim, they felt that there was absolutely no machlokas. So again, we have a machlokas within whether there was a machlokas or not, which is part of Torah. But the question was whether tzimtzum was literal or figurative. And again, these are just words on a certain level, but we'll try and move our way into them. So the question, let's talk first and foremost about the camp that may theoretically conceive of tzimtzum as an actual event, a literal event that took place. So the way that this is typically understood is that God, so to speak, actually removed his light from the space in which existence would eventually unfold. And the relationship between God's infinite light and existence that takes shape in that void is by way of hashkacha pratis, or by way of spooky action at a distance. Somehow, some way, God interacts. Now, again, tzimtzum is never a question with regards to the essence of God, whatever that might mean. The essence of God is everywhere revealed at every second. Tzimtzum is with regards to the infinite light of God. Tzimtzum is never a question of whether God is here or God is not here. God is everywhere. God is everything. There is no possibility of anything without God. The question of tzimtzum is there a presence of an infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here? And the camp, or the Lithuanian camp, we'll call the Shita Sagra, says that tzimtzum was kipshuto. It was an actual event. It was a literal event, which means that the relationship between the infinite God who has removed himself, so to speak, and finite creation is one that doesn't have any traceable line, but it's something that happens by way of an impossible paradox. That's the shita of the Gra. Where they get it from, it's not so clear. It's really not so clear. We won't get too deeply into it, but happy to discuss it. That's the shita of the Gra, the shita associated with the Gra. The shita associated with Chassidus and the Baal HaTanya in particular in Shaar Yichud V'Emuna is that the tzimtzum was metaphoric. It was not a literal event. There's no actual removal of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather there is a concealment of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinitude in existence, and therefore existence exists in a place where divine light is concealed. So we have a machlokas between removal or contraction, which would be the shita sagra, so to speak, and concealment or hiddenness, which would be the shita of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, obviously, there's a big nafkamina between the two. The question is whether the absence of godliness in this moment, in my awareness, is that rooted in the actual absence of God, so to speak, which would create some difficult scenarios and it would prevent us from utilizing certain calming techniques of emuna and bitachon and hashkacha pratis and mamali kolam and soiviv kolam and umir baladecha in shemetzias klal. Or are we saying that the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed and by way of concealment, which means all I need to do is dig down deep in order to uncover the hidden recesses of infinitude present right here? Practical nafkamin, if I'm struggling with something, if I'm following the shita of the groin symptom, that means that in order to fix this problem, I need to move away from where I am at right now and take the steps necessary to bring out a new level of godliness into my life that is inaccessible to me right now. So there would be changes that need to be made. There would be a shifting. There would be a musr orientation of stop this, stop that, do this, do that. That would be a natural totsa'a of the shita that simsim is kapshuto, that what you have right now is not fully revealed. You have to go elsewhere. But from a shita of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, especially as Rabbi Nachman understands the shita of tzimtzum in Torah Samach Dalid, so it would be a very different conversation. Tzimtzum is simply a concealment, and therefore, in order to rectify the scenario, what one needs to do is not run away and try and find external solutions beyond right here, right now, but rather one would have to dig down deep into the concealment to the point where I come to realize that in truth, there is a hidden expression of God here. Achein ata kel mestater. Achein ata kel mestater. God, you are a concealed God, but by being a concealed God doesn't mean that you're not present. It just means that you're revealing yourself by way of concealment. Yeah, so that's the theoretical machlokas. So I'm not going to read into this right now, and this goes deeper, but there's a story that the Rogachever Gaon spent time fabringing with Rav Itchemeyer de Masmid. Rav Itchemeyer de Masmid was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. He also later on was a chassid of the later generations. I believe it was Maharash as well. He happens to have found himself in St. Louis. At one point, the shliach in St. Louis showed me, he said that he wrote a letter like, please God, save me from this place. I don't know what I'm doing here. But he also found himself in London at a certain point, and he stayed by the Dessler family. And Rav Dessler writes in the third volume, I believe, of Michtav Me'eliyahu, where he discusses Tzimtzum, he says, I spent a nice 3 months learning Tanya with Rav Itchemeyer de Masmid, and it was the most heilig zman of Ruchnius in my entire life. And that's where Rav Dessler says, I have come with a new understanding that there is absolutely no machlokas. So there was a conversation between Rav Itchemeyer on Rav Dessler. It started, Rav Dessler really was not a radical, but he was not afraid of anything. Rav Dessler quotes Rabbi Nachman all the time. The first drusha Rav Dessler gave when he came to Panovich was Rav Tzadok's teachings on Shimshon HaGibor. So if you learn Shimshon HaGibor, that's like the heart of the Ishbitzers, kind of where people talk about Yediyah and Bechira. Like Rav Dessler did not care. He got up there and he said the Pnimius of Chassidus. So he was clearly influenced in ways that were open to him. I believe that the story goes, he gave his Tanya over to his son-in-law. The Rebbe brings this down also, Rav Yeshua Goldhelzler, the Kadshe Yoshua, who also discusses Tzimtzum. And apparently the Tanya was just ripped to shreds, like just completely, completely obliterated from usage. So which came first, I'm not sure, but he does record that this was the most holy time in his life, learning Tanya with this person. So there was a conversation between Rav Itchemeyer de Masmid and the Rogachever with regards to what exactly was this machlokas. And they point to a mimer in Torah Or from the Baal HaTanya with regards to a strange sugya, which is whether the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists only in the world of Atzilus, or whether it is present in the worlds of separation, Briya, Yetzira, Asiya as well. Now again, for the sake of an overview, and again, we're just throwing these concepts out there. Each one of these concepts deserves, you know, a number of shirim, but again, we know these terms, we've learned Sefer Chassidus, and even if we don't know them, we know them to one degree or another. There is a distinction between the orders of worlds that we encounter in this life. There is the world of Atzilus, which is a state of mind, and there are the worlds of Briya, Yetzira, and Asiya, which, yes, there are three separate levels of separation, but nevertheless, they're all comprised within a general shape of limitation. So it's Atzilus and Bia, which stands for Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So Lekuli Alma, the Vilna Gaon, the Baal HaTanya, all of the tzaddikim, in the world of Atzilus, somehow, some way, the infinite light is present there, and the kalim that exist there, the receptacles that allow that light to be expressed, are not a stira to the or. It's what the Tikkuni Zohar refers to as ihu v'chihu v'garmayu chad b'hom. He, his light, and his vessels, or his you know, the machinery, so to speak, that allows this light to come down are singular and unified. Zakta Balatanya in Igeras Chaf, in Igros Kodesh, how is that possible? This is why we refer to Emuna as Raza Demehimnusa. It's the secret of faith because it's an impossible paradox to ever understand how the delicate balance between Oros and Kalim can exist within the light of the infinite in the world of Atzilus. But when we come to the worlds of separation, Bria Yetzira Asiya, and we all know what separation means, we all have the mindful separation, which is the world of Bria, the emotional separation, which is the world of Yetzira, and the physical kind of material separation, which is the world of Asiya. In that place, L'chaira, in accordance with the Arizal even, Elukus is not mislabesh there. There's no essence of godliness that can be identified from that perspective. Now, once we identify that distinction, everybody with me on this so far?
One more time?
The whole thing?
No,
the
no elokus in the
Bria. So the Shita L'chaira in the Arizal is that in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, only the innermost point of all things is the essential light of the infinite. But it is covered over by vessels that are not identified. More tzimtzumim. Not only are there tzimtzumim, but there's now a mesach. There is a partition, which means that the amount of light that is descending down into the worlds of separation is no longer of the same intensity and no longer of the same power. Which means to say that the kalim in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya are not elokus. Right, which is theoretically a very important idea to hold very much in mind, because the opposite of that would be Avodah Zarah. To identify the vessels of this worldliness in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, up to and including the biggest tzaddikim in the world, the Beis HaMikdash, everything, to identify that with Atzmus Elokus, God forbid, would be tantamount to Avodah Zarah. It's an understandable level of Avodah Zarah, like David Malka Mashicha says, Bikesh David La'alois El Rosh, Zakt Chazal, David HaMelech wanted to serve Avodah Zarah on a certain level of recognizing that in truth the infinitude of God has to be found everywhere, but we have to hold a deep distinction between the presence of the infinite light in the world of Atzilus, where somehow, some way, measurement is not a contradiction to the immeasurable light of Hashem, and in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, we have to hold cup that, yes, in the innermost interiority of all things, there is the chelek of Elikus, which is either the Yechida or the Chaya and the Yechida, but the vessel themselves are not elokus. And this is what the Vilna Gaon writes in his famous letters, where he says that the Hasidim, so to speak, right, they were not mechabed their Abba and Ima properly, and they were not taking too seriously the interdiction or the prohibition of identifying Avanim and this world with godliness, because there was a fear. If you misunderstand Simsum, then God forbid one may come to understand the worlds of separation as being identifiable with God rather than being subsumed by and filled with God. Now, this Baal HaTanya, there's a teaching in Torah Or where the Baal HaTanya seems to imply that the koyach of Nevuah, the power of Nevuah, which happened and will return to Klal Yisrael, is the ability to draw down Atzmus or Ein Sof Kavyachol. Again, when the Baal HaTanya uses the language of Atzmus, he doesn't actually mean Atzmus, like we've said over and over and over. It means Shemo HaAtzmi. We're never talking about actual Atzmus. That is always present, but never discussed or discussable. But the Baal HaTanya implies that there is the ability through Nevuah, through Netzach and Hoyt, somehow, some way, to be Mamshech, Atzmus, or Ein Sof, into the Kalim of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And again, I am paraphrasing. It is important, if anybody wants to take anything I'm saying seriously, to look at the words of the Baal HaTanya inside, which Rav Itchemeyer brings down as well. So the Ragachever Gon was having a conversation with Rav Itchemeyer Damasman and said, you know, there's a tsushtel to this machlokas. There's a tsushtel, there's an application to this conversation with regards to the reality of the vessels of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya and their relationship to godliness, and that is with regards to whether the shame of Hashem Tzivakos is a name that is considered a name that can't be erased, or whether it is considered a name that can be erased. We know that there are certain shemos that are built in imchakim, you can't erase shem havaya, and there are certain shemos which are attributions, so to speak, or attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not attributions, attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that yes, they're representative. Each sphere has its own name, but it's not an essential name, so to speak. And there's a machlokas as to whether Hashem Tzvakos is a shame that can be bilti nimchak, whether it's a name that shouldn't be erased, or whether it's a name that can be erased. Zok the Ragachover, that according to the Shita that says that the name Hashem Tzvakos can't be erased, that implies that even in the world of Briya Yetzirah Nasiyah, there can be such a thing as a hislabshus of, or Ein Sof, where even the vessels of Briya Yetzirah Nasiyah become infinite expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine essence, so to speak. According to the Shita that says that the Shem Hashem Tzvakos can be erased, would be that no, the Or Ein Sof is never mislabesh, it never engarbs itself fully down here in the worlds of vessels and containers, but it remains removed, and it only is engaged by way of a distance. And so, what the Rebbe explains is that this entire machlokas is only from the perspective of Das Tachton. So here we're going to introduce another concept, which the Baal HaTanya speaks about, Rabbi Nachman speaks about, the Arizal speaks about. Sure.
So, said that the Shmo, it's Shmo Atzmus, it's not Atzmus.
So it's always a name. It's always a name.
So now we're asking whether the Or Ein Sof can be mislabish.
We're still just talking about a name.
We're asking about whether Shmo Atzmus.
Absolutely, yes.
But so what's the nafkamina there?
It's Torah.
Shmo Atzmus,
Torah.
It's not really Atzmus.
It's Lumdus.
Then it's not really Atzmus.
It's Lumdus. There's the Lumdus of Hashem's Metzias in our lives.
You're saying Shmo Atzmus.
It's still, you're right, you're right. Meaning a person, right. So it is and it's not, and that's always the answer. That's always the answer. Sure, sure, sure. So let's see. Let's go a little bit weiter, and we'll see what Totsa comes out of it. But it's a great question. And so there's a chiluk. It's expressed in the Nefesh HaChaim, as well as the Tanya. Well, about the name, it's in the Baal HaTanya. I don't have the makor exactly. I'll share the makor. You know what? I should probably say, I want to say the makor of where the Baal HaTanya is. Give me a second. So, the Baal HaTanya is... I don't have the exact makor of the Baal HaTanya. I will share afterwards because it's an important makor. It's in Torah Or where the Baal HaTanya is discussing this idea. And so, Nefesh HaChaim, Tanya, they make a chiluk. In Nefesh HaChaim, it's referred to as Mitzido and Mitzidenu, from his perspective, so to speak, and from our perspective, or as it's framed in Chassidus, is Das Elyon, meaning an ascendant form of transcendent knowledge, which is Hashem's perspective, and Das Tachton, which is a lower level of human perspective. So Zok the Rebbe, all of the distinctions that we're talking about are from the perspective of our perspective, where there's a differentiation between up here and down there, where there's a differentiation between Tzimtzum and not Tzimtzum. That's where we live in the details, that's where we live in the configurations and the various breakages and connections. From the perspective of Das Elyon, however, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that all there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything that we're experiencing down here as well is standing at the ready to be revealed to have been nothing other than an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light. And we know the lumdus of Kol HaOymed Lizroik Kazorok Dami. Everything that stands at the ready to be thrown is considered as if it's already thrown. And from the perspective of Koyach, everything is already revealed from the perspective of Das Elyon, from that place in our mind where we can enter into the katnus and say, you know what? In the future, this will all be revealed to have been part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence and expression and divine plan. And even though we're not at the point where we can understand it yet, if we look at reality from a perspective of Das Elyon, we could be mevatel the chilukim. And so that's what Das Elyon means. Even Das Elyon is from our perspective. Das Elyon is still a perspective. Be'emes, the truest essence is beyond perspective, right? But Das Elyon itself is still a perspective. From the perspective of Das Elyon, this machlokes is you know, just words and it doesn't mean anything. But from the perspective of Das Tachton, this was a real machlokes. This was a real machlokes. And Zok the Rebbe, in truth, and this is clear in the Gra as well as his Tamidim, the essential machlokes here was not whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is found down here. It's a question of, from our perspective, from our lower perspective, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence found down here? The main machlokes in the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim is how much time should one spend contemplating Yichud Ilah. How much time do I get to spend contemplating the true unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I see that everything, b'li yotzim in a klal, the light, the darkness, the good, the bad, the measure and the non-measure, am I allowed to contemplate this? Should I spend hours a day being misboinen on it, thinking about the divine unity that destroys any concept of separation, allowing me to feel in my own way that comfort of being in that place of mayim b'mayim, where all there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mei ein sof, and to be able to utilize this as a mechanism of coping in this world? We all know that very often we throw ourselves into a yichud of yichud ilah more often than we ever admit. Every time we hear a piece of bad news, every time a person feels something difficult, our coping mechanism as Yidden towards the end of history is always a retreat back up into Yichud Ilah, where we close our eyes for a second, whether we know it or not, whether we believe in it or not, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. That's the deepest coping mechanism. But the question at the heart of the machlokes between the Baal HaTanya and the Nefesh HaChaim seems to be the allowance in terms of contemplating this. If you learn Shar Gimel in Nefesh HaChaim, you are not supposed to contemplate the divine unity mitzad Yichud Ilah. You're not allowed. It's not something that a person is meant to do. You have to live within the confines of Yichud Tata, where there's a separation between Oros and Kelim and measurement and non-measurement. But if you learn Shar Yichud V'amuna and any Mamre Chasidus, you see that a person should be eating Yichud Ilah all day. A person should be contemplating Yichud Ilah every second of their lives until it's Mahapech, their Kishkas, into a place of a Hiskalus Alikus. And so with this, we're going to enter in to the words of the Rebbe, because I think this, the way that the Rebbe is going to be miyashiv, this apparent machlokes, is actually one of my favorite teachings. So the Rebbe says as follows, and this is on Daf Mem. He says as follows, V'achanami yesh leva'er devarav. Now we can understand, Masha Amar, Shabazen nechleku gam ha-misnagdim v'ha-chasidim, be'inyin ha'im yesh lehispoinen ula-ha'amik be'mishalim sichliim v'amukim be'inyin yichud ilah olo. We can say that this machlokas between the Rogachev Ergoin and Ravitchamayr de Masmid that we just described at about the Shem Havaya Hashem Tzavakos, we can say that this is also the machlokas between the Masnagdim and the Chasidim with regards to whether one should contemplate and deepen their contemplation by way of metaphors and intellectual concepts with regards to Yichud Ilah or not. Because theoretically, the Chasidim said, think all day about this. And the Vilna Gaon and Rav Chaim Velazhiner said, don't think about this. Uperish Mairenu. And the Rebbe explains as follows. Shepnimiyas hakavana b'machlokas analhu. What's the essence of this machlokas? Shebevadai lukuli alma yesh inyan diyichud ilah shel das elyon shel Hashem yisparach. Shemevatel es koil habriya umagala ha'emes la'amiso shemitzido yisparach ha'koil elikus ve'ein oid milvadai ve'efes zulaso. Again, there is absolutely no question that everybody agrees, the Misnagdim and the Chasidim, that there is such a thing called yichud ilah, there is such a thing called a higher way of thinking through consciousness in this world, that negates all of existence and reveals the truth of the truth, that from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is an expression of godliness and there is absolutely nothing other than God. Zero. Zil. Nil. Everything is negated in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinitude. V'chein me'idach gisa. And so too, from the perspective of Yichud Ilah. L'kuli alma mitzad Yichud Tata, haynu mitzidenu. Everybody agrees, Misnagdim and Chasidim agrees that from our perspective, the lower unity, mitzad das tachton, from the perspective of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed, as opposed to Shema Yisrael, shehu gamken istaklus v'hargasha samitis, right? That Yichud Tata is a real thing. We're not just imagining reality. Reality exists. That is a fundamental law. Otherwise, you're being mevatel, the Tzemach Tzedek says, as we're going to see, you're a koifer in the Torah if you say the world doesn't exist. It's a mefurash pasuk, bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem created the world. So a person can't claim that this world doesn't exist. Hayosha bara Hashem yisbarach mitziyah sabriya. Hashem created reality as we know it. Kedichsiv b'sarasayinu hakadosha, as it's written in the Torah, bereishis bara Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the beginning. Ukemuva mehat Tzemach Tzedek. What? This world of Ada, this world is Tzimtzum, this world is separation. No, Vada not. Meaning, that already you don't need, quantum tells you that doesn't exist, right? You don't need that, but right. Sure. That there's a Metzius, there's a Tzimtzum, it's a Davar Amiti. There's darkness, there's a Davar Amiti, there's Bechira, there's Chiyuvim. Right? So Zakta Tzemach Tzedek, Shahoimer Sha'oilam Hudimyon, someone who comes along and says that the world is an imagination, like so many people who are learning Hasidus naturally have the inclination to use Lashonos like this. It's a natural thing. The Eino Bria Amitis, but they say it's not a real creation from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nefredes Begilui Me'Hashem Yisbarach, that is separate from the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu by way of revelation. Harezen Negeda Pasak Bereshis Bar Eloikim, Vachin Kasuf Haleshem, the Hare Kfir Batara Kadosh. You can't claim that this world doesn't exist. Now, it exists in a way that's very different than our typical consideration of how a chair exists, as the Maharal says and all the Rishonim point out, but nevertheless it exists. So there's no argument about Yichud Ilah and there's no argument about Yichud Tata. Right? We all know that Asa Hashem Yisbarach Metzias Tzimtzum Al Oirei Ha'Ein Sof Klapeinu Ad Shenivru B'Makom HaTzimtzum Hazeh Kol HaOlamos. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu engaged in this thing called the Tzimtzum, which reveals in front of us all of the worlds, and that's why Olam is Melashon He'elem. It's a language of concealment because it's a concealment of godliness. Harei Mitzad Das Tachtoin Zeh Harei L'Kulei Alma Aser Loimer Al Biyashu Elikus. It's usher in accordance with everybody from the lower perspective of Das Tachton, which sees existence as a separate creation, removed from the essence of God. It is an usher b'isser hamuchlat to claim that this world is identifiable with godliness. K'moy shekasuv la'el. Ella, so what's the machlokas then? If everyone agrees about the Yichud Ilah and everyone agrees about the Yichud Tata, everyone agrees that mitzad Yichud Ilah, all it is inon milvado, and that mitzad Yichud Tata, it's separations, then what's the machlokas? The machlokas, bein hachasidim lahamisnagdim, haisa kama mutter v'nitzrach lanu lehityaches ulachyos ba'oifen shel or penimi v'hisbeinunus ba'oimekim or v'emuna di Yichud Ilah. The real machlokas, as is apparent from the Nefesh HaChaim and the Tanya, is how much time should one spend living with the inner light and contemplation in depth of the light and faith that comes about from the Yichud Ilah perspective. Shelashitas ha-misnagdim. From the perspective of the Nefesh HaChaim, who is theoretically speaking for the Vilna Gaon, there are other Talmidim of the Gra who did not feel that way. They felt that the Nefesh HaChaim was siding with Hasidus, right? That Lashitas HaMisnagdim, in accordance with the Misnagdim, Ein laharbois ula'ayin ula'amik ula'isboinein be'inyan zed yichud ilah. A person should not, and perhaps one can say there's even an isser of spending too much time contemplating these matters of the ascendant unity. What? Laharbot, bevadai, because in Nefesh HaChaim already, the Brisker Rav says something incredible, and there's a maisa about it. The Brisker Rav has the Nefesh HaChaim has a lashon that in a zman of sakana, if a person finds themselves in a zman of sakana, there's a segula nifla'a to contemplate Yichud Ilah to the extent that all of existence becomes null and void. And there's a story about the Brisker Rav that in the Zman of the Shoah, that there were Nazis, mamish like 20 feet away from him, and he had no other way to move, so he started contemplating Yichud Ilah, and he walked by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Meaning it's a segula nifla, so it says, meaning there is, b'shas sakana, l'chayra, the Misnagdim would say, that one can contemplate Yichud Ilah. So we're going to see, this is the Nekuda Samachlokas. By the end, again, if a person looks at the Arizal and what we're doing when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Hashem Elokim, it's lav dafka kind of this Yichud Ilah, Yichud Tata perspective. It's more associated with an aliyah back into the Hechalos in preparation for the Zman between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So from a theoretical perspective, sure, we're contemplating that, but lav dafka is that a raya that even the Misnagdim would agree that it's part and parcel of the functional kind of liturgy of the day. And so, shalashita samisnagdim ein laharbo sula ayin lahamik. Why? It's a sakana sheyachol lahavi leidei kalus b'shmiras hatoru mitzvahs k'moy shakasav and nefshachayim lahedrakein. This was the difficulty. This is in the prakim between Shar Gimel and Shar Dalid, that if you contemplate enon mevado enough, eventually you're going to come and serve God in the bathroom. There's a footnote in the old B'nai Brak edition of the Nefesh HaChaim that references Rav Dessler. And when you look at Rav Dessler says, and what's the problem? There's an isser of experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the bathroom. It's not that Hashem doesn't exist in the bathroom. It's that there's a chalois isser on contemplating God in the bathroom. So when the Nefesh HaChaim says...
That depends on some znus and you're allowed to.
Yeah, exactly, from the Munkacher.
No, if you have a hero's
znus, you're allowed to. Sure. There's Chachma Shlomo says, Rav Shlomo Kluger says... Rav Shlomo Kluger says that one can contemplate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all of reality, even when they're in the bathroom. Lav Dafkar, we know it like this, but the Rebbe brings down the Shita all the time. There's a chilik between Inyane Emuna and Inyane Torah. And the Munkacher in Divrei Torah, one of like the nine halakim of it, he has an insane Torah that says that there's certain tzaddikim who... behechrich, they started like thinking sugyos in the bathroom, and it was a raya that really be'emes, there's no tzimtzum. It was like a hint from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But b'derech klal, right, this is, and we saw, again, the Nefesh HaChaim was not being uber frum. There was, meaning, there were birurim that needed to take place in terms of the original experience of Hasidus, that had there not been this hisnagdus and the reframing of Hasidus, things theoretically would have gone off, right? The gro was at a time when the cherim came out. There were Hasidim who were kind of, you know, doing somersaults in shul and kind of acting all sorts of insane in the name of godliness. And again, with the fear and the natural trauma of Kasa Arura and Shabtai Tzvi, who misinterpreted or deliberately misused these teachings, it was a very legitimate thing. The Rebbe says the avoda of the Gra was to be Mashiach ben Yosef. Ki adua la'ine hakol. The Talmidim of the Gra saw the Gra as Mashiach ben Yosef, haraya, that he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. That's the avoda of redemption that comes about by way of natural experience. That's why the Gra spent a lot of time learning natural sciences. Metach tesahar. He tried to uncover that. Kol Hatur, whether it's an authentic sefer, whether it's from the Gra's Talmidim or not, doesn't make a difference.
It's basically the balance. Exactly,
right? I wanted to say, every chasana has a cheder hayichud and a shomer hayichud. The cheder hayichud is the place where absolute unity is revealed, but in order to enable such a space, there has to be a shomer hayichud who says, you're not allowed in here, you're not, because things are not fully revealed yet. The Vilna Gaon's avoda as Mashiach ben Yosef was to fight against Erev Rav, to be mevarer, the klipos that made their way into Klal Yisrael, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu tried to bring them all in. So the Vilna Gaon at his time felt, l'choira, that by Hasidus there was this hisoirus of this inyan, this foreign body, so to speak, within Klal Yisrael. Then it took about three generations for the Biro to take place, where the Haskalah truly started, and there we have the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third generation of Chabad Lubavitch, and Rav Itzela Volozhiner, who was the son of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. They joined forces against the Haskalah, and it became clear at that point that what the Gro was fighting against was not necessarily Hasidus per se, but the perpetual kind of process that one has to be aware of the possibility of Haskalah. But the Litvaks would say that there's a danger that comes about from too much contemplation. V'rak yesh l'kabel emuna zeh b'yichad ila b'oifen shel emuna pshuta u'b'b'chinas or makif. And in truth, one shouldn't spend too much time contemplating this. It should just be kind of like a surrounding, unconsciously known idea that I don't dive into every second, but I know b'derech klal. Ba'oifen shel emuna pshuta. U'kiyadua she'emuna nikr or makif. Right? It's not a das. I'm not meant to be misboinin on it all day. I'm meant to live with the general framework of the awareness that enables me to continue functioning. This would be the sheet of the Misnagdim. Shitam misnagdim, right? Beli hispoinunus vislabshus besechel bebechinas or pnimi klal. I shouldn't integrate it into my being. I shouldn't contemplate it in a way that's makariv to the seichel. Virak bishas tsara visakana hayamakubal bebrisk. And it was only in a time of danger and suffering that there's a hanhagen brisk, shehim nechte, v'talmidei ha-nefesh ha-chayim, their grandchildren, and the students of the nefesh ha-chayim, l'shtamish b'sugulaso ha-nifla shel ha-nefesh ha-chayim, l'hasru levata me'aleim kol dinim v'ratzoynes ha-chayrim, shlo yochlu lishlot bahem v'lo yasu roishem klal al-yidei shekavu b'levavim es inyan di'yichari lo. But there's a hanhaga that in a zman of tzara, you can tap into this kind of nuclear power, and you can uncover the fact that be'emes einoin mavado legamrei. The gam be'es tzorech kazois loikos of nefesh ha'chaim she'yisboinim besichlo. Even there, even in a time of fear, nefesh ha'chaim doesn't say a lashon of hisboininus like Hasidus would, be'inyan of yuchari la, ela she'yikva hadavar belibo. Rather, I should bring that makif more into a permanency. It should be in front of my eyes. So still, there's a machlokas about the hisboininus. Das ha'chasidim. This is mamash, it gets so good, chevra. Masha ein kein a chasidim. So what's the machlokas here? Masha ein kein a chasidim yadu sheze ikr avoides Hashem lichyoysu lisboinin b'chol rega b'or ha'yichari la. The Hasidim didn't really argue about whether or not you should contemplate Yichadila all day. Nobody says you should contemplate Yichadila all day. Everyone is moide, you're misbainin on Yichadila in a shas sakana and a shas sara. But for Hasidus to be a ben adam in this world without Yichadila is a shas sakana. So kuli amalo pligi. Right, kuli amalo pligi, that you're only misbainin on Yichadila in a zman of sakana. The machlokas is this velt a sakana? Is this velt a makom sakana, or is it only in a place of sakana? And the Hasidim who understood that if I'm not thinking about Einon Mavad every second, I'm dead. I'm far, far, far beyond what I could have ever conceived of me falling into. And therefore, this world is a sman sakana, and therefore I have to contemplate it all the time. Similar teaching is brought down with regards to the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam regarding the mitzvah da'oraisa of tefillah. The mitzvah da'oraisa of tefillah, according to the Rambam, tefillah is a da'oraisa regularly. According to the Ramban, tefillah is only da'oraisa b'sha sakana. Zok the Meforshim, that for the Rambam, he lived in this space where he understood it was always a shas sakana, and therefore his boininus and tefillah was a da'oraisa, not his boininus.
Aren't they actually just arguing on the definition of contemplation at that point? Because, I mean, they're not, no one, they're not saying that you're going to sit there all day contemplating, right?
You could be machalik, right? You could be machalik between hispoininus, but I would say that, but their mechanism of hispoininus. Hispoininus is a real practice, right? You sit, chasidim arishoinim ayushoyin shayachas, koidim atvila. Hispoininus is a real practical thing. And there is, meaning. Yeah, bevadai. There's darche aliyah. Right, there's darchei aliyah. So I would say you're right. One can say that meaning it's a but hispoininus is not a lashon you're going to find necessarily by the Nefesh HaChaim. That's an inyan. Hispoininus by Likus is an inyan that's brought by the Baal HaTanya, and I mean it's brought from the Chasidim HaRishonim, from the Rishonim HaMikubalim. Here he's saying the machlokas is not so much about what hispoininus is as much as what allows for that hispoininus. And the notion of a shas sakana is what enables a person to contemplate it. Masha'in kena chasidim yadu sheze ikar avaydes Hashem lichyos ulisboinin b'chol rega b'or di'ichari la. They understood that the purpose and the essential way of living in this world with avaydes Hashem is to contemplate yichari la. Shu dveikus ha'amitis b'Hashem yisbarach, which is true connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where a person is able to see through the confines of this worldliness. U'beprat shahaloi kol rega b'olam hazeh u'bechina sakana. Every moment in this life is a tremendous sakana because we stand at the ready to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama yisha ba'eis sakana kasav ha-nefesh ha-chayim sheyesh li natzala yidei sheyikasher atzme l'or di'yichad ilah. Just like the Nefesh HaChaim said that in a zman where a person needs to be saved, they can connect themselves and attach themselves to the light of Yichad Ilah. Kach yitzilu ha-chasidim es atzman b'chol rega me-tinufas ve-klipas ha-neroz shel ha-alma shepele al-yadu shaya b'chol rega ba-or di'yichad ilah. The Hasidim were so sensitive because they understood the vulnerability of what it meant to be a ben adam in this world. They were not the ones who were sitting and learning shas all day, but they were the ones who understood what it means not to be able to learn. And they understood that without yichud ilah, I am lost l'gamrei. And therefore they understood that they needed to contemplate it regularly. V'daika al yadai hiskaber lishmor atayru mitzvahs b'shleimus. And the tachlis of being mispoin on yichud ilah is not to contemplate in philosophical speculation to live removed from this world, but the tachlis is the dir b'tachtoinim, to come down and do more tayru mitzvahs. B'shleimus u'ba'oz u'ba'atzumos lihiskaber akol hamoinim v'hamafriyim shokol haklipas anarayus hasharius ba'ilum hazeh. And it's only by way of drinking from this well of yichud ilah that we gain the strength to fight through the concealment of this world. U'biyoter shesavru hachasid. And the Hasidim felt sheish lahamik ulisboinin harbe beor panimi b'mashalim v'sichli amamukim b'inyan d'yichad ilah. And particularly in Chabad, there's an emphasis on developing mashalim and explanations. Right? It's the eish haganus begacheles, the fire that's contained within the flintstone, or the or b'meor, or the ziv in the or the bittel of the name within the person who is called by a name, or the bittel of potential within the individual who doesn't know they have potential. There's all of these riboy mashalim in order to bring it down to the mind. In order to bring it down to the mind. And so we'll go a little bit weiter just to finish the words of the Rebbe. I'm not even sure if this is going to be a continuation of the same idea. I didn't have a chance to read it yet. So the Hasidim felt that it was time to really spend a lot of time contemplating it. They would think about the mashal of the Or HaShemesh, B'soich HaShemesh, in order to bring these ideas closer to the mind so that I can live with it. Ubir HaMachlokes B'inyan And this is the discussion. This is the discussion with regards to whether Tzimtzum is Kepshuto or not. Shasavru hachasidim sha'af b'toich hadas tachtoin efshar v'tzarech l'isyacheis l'dasa amitase elyona. So here's the machlokas. According to the Hasidim, even when I'm living in a space of das tachton, I cannot remove myself entirely from das elyon. I have to create chalonos. I have to create skylights, right, that allow the light of Yichud Ilah to drip down into Yichud Tata. So that was the emphasis, that the tzimtzum can never be seen as something absolute. The Masnagdim L'Chayr would say that, no, Yichud Ilah L'Chud V'Yichud Tata L'Chud. And again, it's dependent on Tchunas HaNefesh, it's dependent on where a person comes from, whether they're Mushrash in Yesod or whether they're Mushrash in Malchus, which is the Machlokas between the Masnagdim and the Hasidim. Kamuva Batanya. Vaharei hachinami savra chasidim dieshli chanes es or hayichri la af betoicha kelim da hasechel vahadas tachtoin shal haadam kechol haefshelo. If we try and we try and we try and we try and inundate ourselves with the secrets of Yichud Ilah, perhaps maybe there will be a little bit of a drip drop into our lives that enables us to live with a little bit more emuna be'ezras Hashem. And so what the Rebbe is showing here, is that be'emes, there's really not so much of a machlokas. This is b'derach klal, how the Rebbe likes to, or I can't say what the Rebbe likes to do, how I understand what the Rebbe is doing in terms of arranging the different shitos in machshava, in Kabbalah, and not having them be in polar opposition to one another, but rather allowing them to be two elements of different truths, of the same truth, which is really what lamdas is. As we see in Chayei Nefesh written by Rav Kenig, by Alter of Kenig, where that entire Sefer Chayei Nefesh is going and discussing a shita of the Nefesh HaChayim with regards to whether there could be a nitzat zelokus that's mislabish in a person and a tzaddik, whether you can identify the Ruach HaKodesh in a tzaddik. And the Chayei Nefesh from Breslov wanted to show with rayos from the Leshem that be'emes you can be mekusher to tzaddikim in this way, as opposed to what the Nefesh HaChayim said. And again, it was by respect, this Rav Kenig was very close with the Chazon Ish, but in the Hakdama there he writes, Shamati mi beis avi, shashama mi beis aviv, that I heard from the house of my father who heard from his father, that klal gadol she'ein machlokas b'yisoy dehadas. There is no machlokas with regards to the fundamental of faith, meaning to say that there is no machlokas as to whether Hashem is present or not. Kuli amalo pligi, Hashem is present. As we saw, the question ultimately becomes, how does one relate to that infinite presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And in accordance with what the Rebbe is saying, it depends on the existential vacuum one finds themselves in when they don't recognize the infinite presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. Be'ezras Hashem.